Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a joy to be with you today, this September the 4th, Monday. We're going to begin a new series today. It's going to take me probably several weeks, pushing 2 months, to teach this new series from 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to exegete the entire chapter, and you will be amazed at how deliberate and how indicting the Word of God is toward the wicked and the ungodly. Again, it's going to be a new series entitled False Prophets and False Teachers. We've had tremendous response from the teaching on the resurrection. I believe this new teaching on 2 Peter chapter 2 will be even more profound relative to the last days. Well, we see the devastation of Harvey. If you'll go back 2 weeks ago when I was on the Hagman's program, I gave a warning. 2 weeks ago this past Wednesday night, I gave a warning about the fall scenario. I believe this is a very tenuous, a very dangerous, a very troublesome, and a very perilous fall this year. With North Korea, Harvey, another hurricane already in the Atlantic Ocean, Irma, there is much that's taking place, much evil that is transpiring in the earth today. And it is simply a sign of the times. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come." Some have called me and asked me where could they give money in supporting the needs in Houston, Texas. Franklin Graham is a great, great man of God, I believe. Samaritan's Purse is doing a great work. I wouldn't send anything to the Red Cross. Just too much administrative fees. But just as soon as Harvey hit Houston, Texas, Franklin Graham, Samaritan's Purse, was on the ground there. Their toll-free number is 1-800-789-1525. Again, that's 1-800-789-1525. I know without a doubt they're doing a great work. They've done much work in many of these disasters, and they will continue to do so. So if you want to put your money in a good place, I personally don't have any contacts other than some listeners. But as far as ministries and works of God that are down there, I don't know anyone in the Houston area personally. So I'm going to give my donation to a Samaritan's Purse. They're out of North Carolina, right here at my backyard. So I know the work that they do, and it's a very, very gracious work. We're living in the last days, folks. And we all have a responsibility, whether we want to accept it or not, we all have a responsibility in the things that happen and take place in this nation. This nation has become very sinful, very wicked. Men have tried to blur the lines, the distinctions between godliness, ungodliness, righteousness, and wickedness. They want us to believe, oh, God is just a God of love. Nothing could be further from the truth. But God said he would send and allow things to come in the earth. He said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I am greatly disturbed because I see a lack of repentance. I, like you, am grateful. I'm thankful for the people coming together and helping the lives that have been saved, the men that have gotten their boats and went out and rescued so many people. But all of this, my friend, I believe is the results of sin. Yet few ministers today are preaching national repentance concerning America. And if you did not hear the program I did with the Hagmans several Wednesday nights ago, I invite you to go back. I believe it'll be 2 weeks this Wednesday night, day after tomorrow. Go back and listen to that program as I tried to explain the fall scenario. Jeremiah 8:20 says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." This is the path that America is swiftly going down, and it's going to be a very arduous and difficult path. Of all prosperity preachers in America, this pastor in Houston, Joel Osteen, preaches an ultimate utopia. That's not true. As I was in prayer some days ago, the scripture came to my mind, Job 14, verse 1. "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." A Christian's life is full of trouble. A Christian's life means bearing a cross, putting your hands to the plow, and never looking back, never giving up. It is a life of suffering. It is a life of toil. It is a life of perpetual tempest and storms. If you put the troublesome times in one hand and the joyous and happy and gleeful times in another hand, the troubles would far outweigh the joyous times. Why? Because God said in His Word, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." So it's as though God said, "I'm going to show you everybody's life is filled with trouble." And on this side of eternity, in this pilgrimage, it's not a life of bliss. It's not a life of joy. It's not a life of exceeding utopia. No, my friend, it is a life of pain, of suffering, and heartache. Everyone listening to me today, at one time or another, you have suffered great pain and sorrow. So listen to me. Don't listen to that prosperity garbage. That's not real. That's not true. If you don't believe that, look at the circumstance and the situations right now in Houston. Life is a reality. Amen. As I said a few moments ago, we're going to begin a new series today. This series will be entitled False Teachers. False Teachers. I'm only going to attempt to get through verse 1 today. I hopefully will get several verses in hereafter in each program, because I don't want to take 22 programs to get through these 22 verses, but I will capsulize some of these verses, tie them together. But verse 1 is a plethora of knowledge, of revelation, and of insight concerning the time of the end. And because of Satan's subtlety, how subtle he can be, how crafty, stealthy he can be, we oftentimes are not awares that Satan has crept in with a measure of leaven to corrupt the whole body. Galatians 5 and 6, Paul said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him who calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." I know today there are not many preachers that preach uncompromisingly. But they preach a perverted, corrupt, polluted, diluted gospel that has no power. Come in, and they've wreaked havoc, and they've hijacked true Christianity with a perverted, corrupt gospel, and preached another Jesus. That's not another. There's only one Christ. So what they're preaching is a fraud. It's a sham. It's a counterfeit. It is not pure. It is not righteous. Neither is it godly for it's not of God, but it is of their father the devil, because Satan has put the greed and the lust and the covetousness in their hearts. And their God has become their belly, and they chase that more than they chase God. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. I'll stop right there for today. Peter the Apostle admonishes the church that there were false prophets among the people throughout the many ages. Just as surely as there is a true prophet, a true messenger of God, you will witness the false prophets, Peter said. And we'll get to something here a little bit deeper in just a moment. But we see, unequivocally, Peter said there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. The word were there really would be arose. But there arose false prophets among the people. What is false? False is a spurious teacher, i.e., that is, a propagator of erroneous doctrine. What is the only thing that dispels false doctrine? True doctrine. Never before has there been a greater famine of true Bible preaching. Now, I know there will be those that will disagree with me, and that's perfectly all right. But there's something missing in these new Bibles, these new versions, that they do not possess the anointing and the fluidity that exist in the King James Version. Now, I'm not going to sit here and argue about the authorized version, etc. But I will say today, these new perverted so-called Bibles, and the reason you're witnessing them rewriting the scriptures is because it's monetarily profitable for them. They are able to copyright because they have written something of their own mind and their own heart, of their own ideology, and they copyright it, and therefore they're able to print it and make boatloads of money. Now you see, Paul understood this. 1 Timothy 6 and 10, he said, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This desire, this love for money, is the root of all evil. What is the root of evil? The devil. You've heard me say, take the D off of devil and you have evil. Don't think God was not thinking when he named Satan Diablos, the devil. Paul said the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after they have erred. That word erred in the Greek means they have been seduced from the faith. How many people today have been seduced? Paul said this would grow exponentially in the time of the end. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The Holy Ghost was plainly and outspoken. That's what that means. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, outspoken, clear, no ambiguity. Nothing therein lies something that is nebulous, but absolute truth. And that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they would speak lies and hypocrisy. They're hypocrites. I said they're hypocrites, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. These men, these women, their consciences have been seared with a hot iron. Now, one of the ways that you can know unequivocally that these people are false is because there is never a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. There is never, let me say that again. There is never a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. There's no conviction, there's no power, there's no anointing whatsoever of the Holy Ghost in their teaching or in their services. This is why Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You never witness a demonstration, neither do you witness any power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, Paul said. You don't see it. Let me go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. I quoted 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. What did Paul say in verse 1? And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom, the verbiage, the pseudo knowledge of men, but in the power of God. We no longer witness conviction. You see, I pray. I don't know if these other people pray, but I pray that God will anoint me to preach with two things: conviction and compassion. I want to be compassionate when I preach against sin, because I love the sinner. I don't want anyone to be lost. I'm like Peter the Apostle. 2 Timothy 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. If we do not preach the truth, if we do not preach the Word of God, we cannot dispel false teachers. We cannot expose false teachers. But when you preach the truth, when you preach the Word of God, you will expose the heresy and the false, mendacious teachings of men and women. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You've got to hear the word of the Lord to hear the truth. You can't listen to these pulpiteers and their jokes and their cronyism. They all bring in the same cookie-cutter preachers to solicit and suck money out of the congregations and appeal to people's flesh and appeal to their lust and appeal to their carnality. They all bring in these cronies. One of them just went down, Mr. Todd Kuntz. He's been in all the big ministries: Rod Parsley, Benny Hinn, David Cirillo, Inspirational Network. They've brought this man in. Now it looks like he's going to prison. They wouldn't touch him now with the 10-foot pole because the federal investigators and federal prosecutor says, we're going to teach you a lesson, sir. Of course, he's in denial. He didn't do anything. See, the Bible said they will bring upon themselves swift destruction. Getting ahead of myself here. These false teachers, and that's all they are. They don't preach, they teach, 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 teach. Paul didn't say, Peter didn't say false preachers. He said false teachers. Everybody seems to have a teaching ministry today. You just don't hear old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching anymore. It just doesn't exist. Why? Because preaching brings with it an element of divine Holy Ghost conviction that drives a stake into a man's heart, a stake into a woman's heart. It says, you're wrong, you're lost, you're deceived, you need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't preach with conviction. That's why they don't make altar calls. You don't see these people making altar calls. Hey, we're all saved. We're all going to heaven. Why come to the altar and repent and confess your sins before God? Oh, no, folks. You can't fornicate and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can't get drunk on Saturday night. You can't run a line of cocaine Saturday night. You can't be committing adultery. You can't be lying and cheating and stealing and robbing and pillaging, watching pornography day after day after day and have clean hands and a pure heart. You can't do it. Oh, you'll never hear these playboy theologians preach like that because that's just not popular. Oh, I know my preaching is strong and somewhat abrasive, somewhat offensive. Let me tell you, when you get preached to by the Holy Ghost, he'll plow your soul up. He'll dig up in the deep places of your heart. The Holy Ghost will go behind the doors, the closed doors of your heart, and reveal your sins to you. He will expose to you your error, your wrong ways. But today, we don't want to hear that kind of preaching. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether it be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Everything that comes on radio, everything that comes on television, it's not of God, it's not of the Word of God, it's not of the Holy Ghost of God. But try the spirits, plural. There's a lot of seducing spirits. I just quoted that 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the spirits speak expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. It's plural. Many spirits out in the world. John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many, many false prophets are going out into the world. Many false prophets, not true prophets, not messengers of God, not God anointed, not Holy Ghost anointed messengers, but false messengers, John said. False. False. You see, when we don't preach the Word of God, all types of sin creeps into the church, creeps into the sanctuary, creeps into men's hearts. And they don't understand true biblical doctrine. And these long-haired, tattooed, worldly-looking men today that say they're men of God, that guys like me, I'm totally wrong. I have a wrong spirit. Sir, cut your hair. You long-haired hippie. You don't know the Bible. If you had the Bible and you had conviction, you'd cut your hair. 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Well, Jesus had long hair. You ain't got one picture to prove that. Look at all the busts that have been made of all the Caesars. You ever seen one with long hair? Watch your old Roman movies and the great palaces. You see men with long hair? No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't see it. You know why? It doesn't exist. That's right. It doesn't exist. You can look at a plethora of Roman sculpture. Some of the most Roman pyrrhalist. And the art of these historians prove to us time and time again that didn't any of them have long hair. Yeah, that's right. And there are so many Caesars. Caesar Augustus, let me see. Luke 2:1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree into all the world that the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. I'm trying to recall that by memory. I haven't quoted that passage in a long time. I left out Caesar Augustus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Go back and look at the bust of Caesar Augustus. Go look at it. You see, I don't think long hair will send a man to hell. Bible doesn't say it's a sin. It says it's a shame. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. A woman's long hair is her glory. It's given to her for a covering. But we have all of these charlatans and pretenders coming along, preaching another gospel, living another gospel, and they refuse to preach the truth uncompromisingly. Even Jesus, talking about doctrine, said in John 7:16, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. True doctrine is the purest form of truth. In these last days, Peter said we would witness false teachers who would find a place of residence among the people. They'll find a lodging place. They'll find a resting place. They'll find a place to come in, and the people love to have it so. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. They come in. How do they come in? They come in a stealthy mode. You hear the media talk about the stealth bombers. They can fly under radar. Peter said false prophets, false teachers. Paul went on to say false brethren, Galatians 2:4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately, there you go, privately, stealthily, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You see, these men do not preach freedom. They do not preach liberty, but rather, Paul said, they're going to bring you back into the bondage of sin. To whom we gave place by subject? No, not for an hour. In other words, I wouldn't subject myself to them for 1 hour, Paul the Apostle declared, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat. Oh, you think you're something, Paul said, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they are, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. I love it. That's straight preaching. You ain't nothing, buddy. God is no respecter of persons. Whatever you think you are, you toot your horn, you blow your whistle, you ring the bells, you turn the screws. You accept the accolades of men, the praise of men, rather than praising God. Paul said, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Let me tell you, a false teacher, a false prophet can add nothing to your life if you're truly blood-bought, born-again child of God. They can add nothing to you. They'll take away from you. They'll rob you. They'll steal, kill, and destroy, but they won't add anything to you. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that means the Gentiles, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, that meant the Jews. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the Jews, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision, or they unto the Jews. See, God redirected Paul the apostle's life. He wasn't to preach to the Jews. They wouldn't accept him. He went to the Gentiles. Peter, Paul, John, warned of a plethora of false and spurious men who would seek to corrupt the truth. Their goal is to corrupt the truth. I know men today who twist the scriptures to say something that it does not say. Why? Because they're determined to keep preaching a pre-trib rapture. And they'll take 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and say the falling away is the rapture. I didn't know we were falling away. I thought we were supposed to be gathering together unto Christ. You see, that's heresy. That's heresy. That is spurious, false teaching. Look it up in the Greek, apostasia. It means a bill of divorcement. We're not supposed to be divorcing Christ. We're supposed to be gathering together unto Christ. And yet they have the audacity, unmitigated nerve to say, no, it would have been better translated rapture. Baloney. There's your new Greek word today, baloney. Hogwash. See, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the gospel of God. They corrupt it. They willfully corrupt the word of the living God. That's their point. That's what they're called to do, is to disrupt and corrupt the gospel of Christ. Matthew 24:5, and many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether it be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many. How many times do you see that about true preachers? True God-called, God-anointed, blood-washed, blood-soaked men of God. The Bible never talks about there being many of them. Isn't it amazing? When you go through the Old Testament, you go through the New Testament, God is always hammering, preaching against fallacy, falsehood, mendacities, false teachers, false prophets, false apostles, false teachers. It's just on and on and on. Why? Because he knew they would destroy the souls of men. They would use the power of Christ's name for their own ungodly advantage. I want to stand before God with clean hands and a pure heart. I didn't get in this thing to lose. I didn't get in this thing to compromise. I didn't get in this thing to water it down and make it palatable for anybody that walks through the doors. I've got to preach the truth. Because I will stand before God Almighty at that judgment day. And my knees will bow and my tongue shall confess. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Hallelujah. great God in heaven. And we play with God. We toy with God. We mock God. We mimic God. We are spiritually sick. We're so anemic. We're so pathetic. Until men get back in the closet and they pray and they fast and they pray and they fast and they pray and they fast, they won't come out with a message from God. They'll come out with their own ideology. They'll come out with their own theology. They'll come out with their own ideas and not the heart, the mind, the will of God. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. My God. Corruption. Corruption to no end. To no end. I'm not going to water it down for anybody. I owe it to my predecessors to preach uncompromisingly. I owe it to those who came before me hundreds of years ago and were beheaded, were imprisoned, were sawn asunder, were put in jail because they stood for the truth. These little limp-wristed, panty-waist preachers, they won't stand for anything, but they'll fall for everything that's junk. And sad to say, so many professing Christians are going down that way of chaos and utter destruction. You follow the devil, you'll go to hell. You follow Jesus Christ, you hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I didn't know I'd be this fired up today. I reckon when you spend time with God, you just come out a different person. You come out a changed person. You come out with a different attitude. You come out with a different mindset. You have a different disposition. Preaching anything but the Word of God. Keep your hate mail. Keep your hate emails. I don't want to hear your lying, cheating, conniving, weaseling, good-for-nothing excuses. You couldn't have handled, some of you listening today, you couldn't have handled John the Baptist. You couldn't handle Paul the Apostle, Peter the Apostle. You couldn't have handled it. You'd have been just like Jesus said about the children of the ones that slew the prophets. He said, you're the children of those that murdered the prophets. And you say you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. Oh, yes, Jesus said you would do it. Yes, you would. Matthew 23:29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your own synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Jesus said, that's who you are. That's who you are, Jesus said. This is the words of Christ. Somebody said, preach more Jesus. I'm preaching the red letters, folks. Everything I just gave you there is from the words of Christ. Yeah. Oh, we would have embraced Paul. We would have embraced John the Baptist. We would have embraced Peter the Apostle. Jesus said you would not have. You are a witness unto yourself that ye are the children of them that killed the prophets. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He said, you're not going to escape it. You may try to escape it, but you won't escape it because at that day, every knee shall bow unto Christ. Romans 14:11. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow unto me, every tongue shall confess unto God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us. Not one will get by. The truth is, I don't preach hard enough. I ought to preach harder. I should. I should preach harder. Because I'm going to have to give an account. That's why these men, they are so selfish. They are so selfish. Because all they seek is their own. Peter said, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. What is a damnable heresy? Something to lead you astray. Something to lead you aside. To introduce surreptitiously or in a stealth-like manner. They desire to come in so that you cannot detect them. While they're coming, and they come in stealthily, they bring in, Peter said, damnable heresies. I want to say that again. Damnable heresies. What they're preaching will damn the souls of men. Damnable. What is damnable? It means to destroy, to ruin, to lose. The state of perdition after death, coupled with the loss of redemption and salvation. Damnable heresies will damn you. They will damn you. And yet people flock. I mean, when I turn on the television, you know, we're a very small ministry, and people just don't care about the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. I've preached some messages that are all for the purpose of edification. And I want you to be edified. I want you to be strengthened. I want you to run the race. I want you to finish the course with joy. But I'll never forget the words of the apostles in Luke 13:24. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why can't they get in, preacher? Why can't they get in? They didn't strive. They cheated. The word strive there in the Greek means to labor, to press, or to agonize. Is that how you're striving to enter into the kingdom of God? Pressing, laboring, agonizing, contending, fighting, enduring, suffering, pain, affliction, whatever the case might be. It means to contend for victory in the public games, in the public arena. Generally, it meant to fight or to wrestle the task of faith and preserving amid temptation and opposition. It came also to mean to take pains, to wrestle, as in a prize or a contest, making every effort to achieve the goal. The implication is you're going to have plenty, plenty, plenty hindrances. Those hindrances, though, are for the purpose of the development of your Christian life, your Christian walk, your walk with God. Hindrances make you grow. There's all sorts of training. There's endurance training. There is strength training. There is breathing training. And all of these athletes do all this mental training. Why? So they can be superior to their contestant. Well, let me tell you, the only way to be superior to the devil is, first of all, is to have Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of your heart. He must be Lord of your life. Paul said in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. But Christ must be the Lord of your life. You know, I want to be nice to all ministries and ministers, but I'm just becoming more of an isolationist. Because instead of preaching, they'll show videos of emaciated little African children. Can I tell you, if you truly get saved, you'll tithe, you'll give. You know, I get so many emails, and most of them are just a good old boy pat on the back. I've been listening to you for years, but I never hear from you until you want something. You want me to pray for you. You want a piece of advice. You want some sound counsel. You want, but I never hear from you in the sense of communicating, sowing back into the ministry. So you're just a taker in my life. You just take from me everything I dish out. And I know when I come to this microphone, I preach uncompromisingly. I preach the Word of God. I would dare say I've done shelled out 50, 60 Bible verses today, and I've not got past verse 1. I hadn't even hardly got halfway through verse 1. I know I'm old school. I'm out of date. I'm out of style. I know that. I'm out. I'm not on the inside. I'm not on the in crowd. I don't get invited to these meetings where you have all of these upper echelon, where all the accolades and the pat on the backs and the good old boys. No, because when I preach a different message, but it's different because it's the truth. It's different because it's uncompromising. It is different because it's in power and it's in the Holy Ghost. And these other little whistleblowers, they don't preach anything. They got them a microphone, they built them a website, and they said, look at me, I'm a prophet. Yeah, you're what Jesus called a false prophet. P-R-O-F-I-T. You're in it for the money, honey. You're not in it for souls. You never weep for souls. You never cry for souls. You never fast for souls. You never pray for souls. You never plead with God to give you souls. Because that's not where your heart is. Your heart is your belly. You serve your belly because you're selfish. You're self-serving. You're self-centered. You browbeat people. You preach for money, and you condemn them if they don't send money. I'm just talking to 200 today, and God's telling you to send a $1,000 gift. I'd like to get $200,000 in a pop, too. If I had that kind of money coming in, I'd be on every television station. I wouldn't need for the people to support me. If the money was there, I would have to care whether the viewer of the television was supporting me. If I just had godly people standing, and I'd be hammering, preaching the Word of God. Jeremiah 23:29, it's not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces? That hammer coming through that screen, pounding and pounding and pounding? It's not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29, his word was like fire. Shut up in my bones. God's word is a fire. It's a Holy Ghost fire. That's why on the day of Pentecost, there were cloven tongues as a fire that set upon each of them. Set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Where is the Holy Ghost in these meetings? Where is the Holy Ghost on these television programs? Where is the Holy Ghost? Please tell me. There isn't any. You can't give somebody something that you don't have. Peter, John said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise up and walk. And immediately the Bible said the man received strength in his feet and ankle bones. And he entered into the temple walking, leaping, and praising God. They gave him the Holy Ghost power and a Holy Ghost healing. He thought they were going to give him some gold or silver. And Peter, James said, we don't have any silver. Peter, John, excuse me. We don't have silver or gold. But, oh, we got something better. You know what is? It's so sad, so tragic, so tragic. My God. People go to meetings and they go to church and they leave just like they came. Like the woman in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. She lived in bondage for 18 years. 18 years. Luke chapter 13, the Bible said there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Jesus said unto her, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, that meant she was in covenant with God. She's a daughter of Abraham. And in that self-righteous, bigoted, good-for-nothing, worthless ruler of the synagogue, with indignation, he rebuked Jesus Christ, the healer. He said, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and you come in here on the Sabbath and you heal her. I love Jesus' response. Thou hypocrite. Thou hypocrite. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose an ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan, he identified the perpetrator of this infirmity, Satan, hath bound low these 18 years. Is it not right that she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. The Bible said then his adversaries. See, the Bible called those, that ruler of the synagogue, the Bible, according to Luke's gospel, called them Jesus' adversaries. Your adversary, the devil. Who do you think these men were operating under? It wasn't the power of the Holy Ghost. These men have no delivering power. These women have no Holy Ghost power to lay hands on the sick and lay hands on those in bondage. My God, I get testimonies just about every week. And I've not touched a soul. I've just preached the word of God. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereinto that I send it. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Just the preaching of the word of God sets captive souls free. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Just preach the word and people will be set free. Bondages will be broken. Sickness has to leave. Sinners will be saved. Christians will be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Just preach the word. That's what Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. Peter says they're false teachers. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. This is the kind of preaching that slays the demons of hell. Men and women feel the power of the Holy Ghost, and they know that Jesus is real. He's not some imaginary deity. He's not some fantasy God. He is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords, and we preach his word. There's a famine. Amos 8:11. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Hearing the word of the Lord. You can't hear the word of God today. Can't hear it. These dried up cracker preachers, that's not a reference to one skin color either. They're dry as crackers. They have no moisture. They have no ability to irrigate the people of God. None whatsoever. It's not there. It doesn't exist. When the Bible It's either in Kings, First Kings or First Chronicles, talking about the teaching priests. That word teaching in the Hebrew meant they had the ability to irrigate the people, irrigate the soul of men. Water, water. John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Thank God when Jesus touches your heart, the hunger for the things of the world totally disappears. The thirst for the things of the world evaporates. But the hunger, the thirst for God grows deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I thought I could get through verse 1 today. God help me to be faithful at my watch. Help me to serve my generation well, as Peter said, Paul said, excuse me, in Acts. Help me to serve my generation well and preach every day uncompromisingly. Why? It's important. It's important to not want to water this message down. It's important to keep preaching the truth. God wants us to hear the truth. I said, God wants us to hear the truth. But you know what? We struggle to hear the truth today. I know. I know. Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. He just went to sleep, like I tell you about the resurrection. He just went to sleep. But he served his own generation by the will of God. I want to serve my generation by the will of God and serve faithfully. Faithfully. Uncompromisingly preaching the word of God in season and out of season. Why? Because these false teachers have made tremendous inroads into the lives of many so-called Christians. Get back to the word. There's power in the word of the living God.
Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.